Today's episode of Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey is brought to you today by LifeWave X39 Patches. As a parent of a child with autism, I am always looking for new tools that truly make a difference. Since my son has started using the LifeWave X39 Patches, we have noticed incredible improvements. More joint attention, less aggression, and a reduction in his autism-related symptoms. I have started using them myself, and they've truly been a game changer for my energy, my focus, and my mood. These innovative patches use light to gently support your body's natural energy flow. For better wellness, try them out today and see a difference in yourself and even your kiddo. So you guys can visit my link below in the show notes to learn more and to support the show. Welcome to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey, the podcast where we explore complexities, breakthroughs, and unfiltered realities of lives touched by autism. I'm your host, Ruth Castle, here to guide you through heartfelt stories, expert insights, empowering conversations, whether you are a parent, a sibling, a grandparent, an educator, or an advocate, professional in the space. This is your space to find community. Ask the hard questions and uncover new possibilities. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey. I'm your host, Ruth Castle, and
I'm Kanika. We're so excited to share this space with you.
Today, I want to share a little bit about who we are and why this podcast matters to us and what inspired us to even start it. So you guys have got to learn a little bit about me in the last few episodes. So I would like, you know, you guys get to know Kanika, just like I got to know her and a little bit about her story. And just really, you know, get to know us together because we're going to have a lot of episodes together and it's going to be an amazing time. So I'm just going to give you a brief overview of like our life a little bit before autism and, you know, how we became a part of each other's journeys and highlight some of the challenges that we face in navigating those diagnoses and therapies and advocating and then finding time for ourselves. Yeah, that's the hard part, isn't it, Kanika?
Very.
A little bit more about me, and you're going to also get to know this with our conversation today with Kanika, is that we're very similar in a lot of ways. So me and my husband, we decided to move to Florida within 25 days of coming here on vacation. And just on a whim, did it. We had been married at that point for almost 7 years, and then we moved to Florida and been here ever since. And so can you guys share a little bit about like how you moved to Florida?
Still on vacation.
See, when we came on vacation, we put money down on a condo. What about you? You look at apartments?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. So if ours was apartments too, like, but they were they called them condos. So I mean, it's Florida. But yeah. We just moved here, and because it's so beautiful, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's sunshine all year round. Flip-flops all year round.
Mm-hmm. Transfer jobs here.
Okay. So I was actually unemployed before I moved here. So that made my decision easier to come. Because I was like, I'm not committed at a job. I was temping. So the temp agency relocated me with a temp job here. They were like a national temp agency. So.
And it's not like you can't find a job here in Florida anyway. I mean, there's jobs dime a dozen around here because there's so much population.
Oh, yeah.
And let's see, I got pregnant with my son in, well, it was 2017 when I found out in February. What about you?
I found out in January, Wednesday, January 11th.
Okay.
2017, I had him June 21st on a Wednesday at 6:31 p.m.
Well, my water broke at Red Lobster.
Oh.
Yeah, it was...
Cheesy biscuits?
No, I just ordered them. I just sat down and I was with my... No. I was with my coworkers too at a work dinner and the water broke and it went all over everybody's feet at the restaurant. Isn't that lovely?
Oh my goodness. It probably would have been like pitches of water spilling on the floor and it was not from. Anyway.
I love it. So I found out in February, I think it was February 8th. But the reason why I took a pregnancy test was that I was craving, steak, and I couldn't breathe. Like, I had, like, shortness of breath.
Eating steak.
Like, I don't know what's wrong
with me. Why am I suffocating?
Yeah, why am I suffocating, and why do I want steak for every meal?
Mm.
And so then, I took a pregnancy test, and boom, pregnant. Like, real pregnant. I was in my second trimester.
Oh my goodness.
1 week away from my second trimester, but I found out. And then I had my son in September. September 22nd. As when I had my son at 10:13 p.m.
I decided to take a pregnancy test because I was doing Zumba, I was in shape, and I was going to boot camp, but my stomach was bulging.
That's awesome.
And then my husband said, did you notice that your stomach is sticking out? We're both eating healthy. We're both working out. He's like, I think you should get a pregnancy test. I was like, no. He's like, yeah. So then I go to Walgreens that same day, go get a pregnancy test and go in the bathroom. And then I see both lines. I did it twice. I was like, my goodness. And then I came out and told my husband, I was like, hey, big papa, you're going to be a papa. He's like, I told you. So that Monday, I called my OBGYN office. And the irony is my OBGYN was asking me about kids like that September, October. And who knew that I was pregnant when he was asking me? So I called the doctor's office that Monday. I had an ultrasound that Wednesday, January 11th. I went right after work to my ultrasound, and yes, I was pregnant. And then I had to be induced. So June 20th, I went in, and June 21st, which was a Wednesday at 3:31 p.m., my water broke. And I tried to do it naturally, but he was not ready to come out, so.
And so you had C-section too?
Yeah.
I had a C-section too.
Oh, so to be induced.
Yeah. So my water broke. And then I was in labor for like 30-something hours.
Oh.
And he was coming out effaced.
Oh.
And my doctor didn't show up, so long story there. But so he was coming out effaced, so the on-call doctor had to push him back in.
Oh.
And then do the...
He was like, just kidding.
Yeah.
Go back in.
Get back in there. That was a fun time. Well, I have a whole episode about that too later on. So talking about the whole thing and one of the things that happened to me, I wish I would have known that it does have there is a higher risk later in life. And he should have been put on a different protocol after he was born because he had tachycardias, like where he goes to the restroom inside you. So that is a risk factor. And I'm going to talk about that in the pregnancy episode, because if I would have known that, what I know now, I would have definitely pushed for those services when he was younger. You said you noticed delays early, like when he was like one?
So, yes. So my son turned one and my mom came for his first birthday party and he just started walking. Like he didn't really crawl. No, he didn't crawl at all. He would only crawl on the bed, but that was the motion. He liked rocking back and forth. And then it was after he started walking, he started crawling. And and my son didn't like praise at that time. And still sometimes he doesn't like praise. So if he started taking his first steps, some parents get really excited and go, yay. If I would do that, he would stop and just plop on the floor. So he would have to walk and I couldn't give him praise or try to record him because if he seen the phone or whatever, he would stop. Or he would stop if I praised him. So then there were no words. That's when my mom brought it to my attention. She said, I think you need to call your doctor and get a referral for speech therapy and get his hearing checked. His hearing was fine, but definitely we found out it was autism after getting a diagnosis a year later.
So Elijah's was a little different. He actually had 2 to 3 words and he regressed severely. He was around his 16-month mark that it started, the regression really took place, but there was an event that happened with Elijah. And I don't believe in it's one cause for autism, and I have a lot, we're going to do a lot more deep dives on that, and I'm going to have professionals on for the show too, but it was after he received his DTaP. He did have an adverse reaction. We had to end up going to All Children's for that, and he was never the same after that. And so we'll go into those things because I do know that there is some controversy when it comes to those type of topics. They say vaccines don't cause that. Listen, when you actually do look at some of them, yes, they can. And that don't take from someone else's story to what they've actually experienced. That's just what my advice to everyone out there. But again, the reason why I brought up the pregnancy thing is because there was precursors. It is not one thing that I believe that actually causes autism. There is a multitude and there's different things. So like I said, we're going to talk more about those topics because if you can pinpoint where they are, you can help your child better and how they can now succeed or overcome their challenges that they have now because you know what actually triggered those neural dysfunctions. So I say that because you have to get down to the root cause. And if you don't understand where the root cause even came from, you can't really proceed properly. So this is what I said, you know, like sometimes these conversations are going to be uncomfortable. This is what I'm talking about. Yes. And I do. And I've met other moms on their journey and it was not the same vaccine. They did not have the same adverse reaction, but they had adverse reactions. And for people to discredit people like us to say that it is not right. And I'm not saying that it was all of it either. Like I said, the birth, there were probably things there. And I really like this one lady. I'm trying to get her on the show. And she really talks about environmental factors. Vaccines are an environmental factor. Pollution, your diet, dyes. I can list on and on what environmental factors are. So to say that they don't is not okay. And there are adverse reactions. I want to digress off of that. But that's what happened with him. And it was also that was right before COVID. Again, this all happened right before COVID. And he got put on a wait list to be able to be seen by a developmental pediatrician at All Children's right after this. But since COVID happened, and it was like 2 months after he had his advent reaction, COVID happened. And we were supposed to go see the pediatrician. And it got pushed back a year because of COVID. And they had to do the so many people they could only allow in the office and all of that. Mm-hmm. So, and I got him on other wait lists, but that was still the shortest one because everybody was doing that. And nobody would do it virtually at that point. So we got into early steps. We did get into early steps, but they wouldn't give him a thing for ABA. So he didn't get ABA. But I took a course for ABA because I'm like, hey.
You're an ABA your own child.
I did. I did stuff with him. And that's why he is potty trained. You know, I used their methods and I did what I did. Now I still work from home. But when it comes to, you know, doing the best I could for him, that's what I could do at that time.
That's good, because when the world shut down, and then you can shut down too, because you're like, oh, I can't go to someone's house. I can't go to the doctor's office. And at that time, if I had to go to my OBGYN appointment, my son couldn't come with me. And that whole year with no social, emotional, and then the next year when things started to open up and I started bringing him around people or different events, it was like a shock. And then he just would have meltdowns and be so overstimulated.
Yeah, I experienced that too. I think like he didn't want to go. We had a thing about going through doorways. I didn't know that would be a thing, but I guess like they made the whooshing sound. Like sometimes when doors open, that was the sound he couldn't like take. And he would have a meltdown just walking through a doorway into businesses, especially. And I was like, what? You know, it was so harsh.
Yeah, he used to love going to people's house and going from room to room. We went to someone's house for like a cookie decorating party. And he wouldn't even go in the door. And when he did, he was just like crying. I gave him his tablet and he just worked by himself. But yeah, COVID, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. And it was very isolating. Like here I was, and you probably had the same thing too. Like I was, you know, given this diagnosis, going through all these things, and I had no one to talk to. I had no one to talk to.
Right, because who else knew about autism? And you don't know anything about autism. And yeah, that was hard. Only people I had to talk to were ABA when they came to the house. I would just talk to them nonstop. They're probably like, gosh, this mom talks all the time. But I had no one else to talk to that had knowledge about autism. So I would speak to them. And these girls were young, out of college, and so knowledgeable. They knew so much. So I would say, thank God my first experience had a great BCBA and two RBTs. One came in the morning from 9 to 12. And then my son would sometimes nap from 12 to 2. And then the second one came at 2 to 5.
Well, that's nice.
So we were in the house all day, every day, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday.
That makes it nice. I mean, I don't know how I survived those days, to be quite honest.
Me either. All day in the house.
I was all day in the house, and I also worked from home, and I had a headset, and I was taking care of him and doing stuff all at the same time, trying to work, and it was just, it was crazy.
Yeah, and then you're still learning. You're still learning autism. You know what that is. So, yeah, I would just pick their brains all day. And he was still phasing out at early steps because he phased out when he turned three.
Three.
So they were still coming earlier in the morning from like 8 to 9. And then the speech therapist was still coming. So when he phased out early steps, it was just ABA.
My experience with early steps, though, was mostly Zoom. And they didn't come to my house. They only did Zoom only. And they were like, you need to make him stay in front of the computer.
My goodness, that was so hard. Yeah. One of my ladies, she was old school. So she was like, no, I'm coming face to face. She was like, I'm not. And then what happened was when COVID hit, the world shut down. The world was on the internet, college courses online, elementary school, high school, preschool, everything online, doctor visits, work from home, all online. So everyone's camera was just doing this.
Spinning. Yep, that was my work.
Because the world was on the internet and everyone was just going like this.
It was hard.
You put an autistic kid in front of the camera and they're not used to doing virtual and they see this, they're just going to get up and spin themselves. They're just going to spin with the circle.
Yeah, that's Elijah. That's why he left all the time. They're like, get him to come back. I'm like, well, you're frozen. You know, like, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get him to do that? You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, why finding your identity in your autism journey, it resonated with both of us is because, you know, it's more than just about autism. It's about the growth, the connection, embracing, and who we are becoming in this process, you know? And I would love to encourage all of the listeners to really reflect on their own journeys and their identities because, you know I look at it this way. I have to realize that this is probably going to be a lifelong journey for me. I'm going to be there, you know, for my
time. It will be a lifelong journey.
It's just going to change. Like Kanika said earlier, you know, like it seems like every month you get a new kid. It's going to be like that for our lives.
For the rest of our life. Yep.
So we got to figure out like, how do we fit in that, you know, and how do we change our perspective to be able to help them more and help them grow and become the individuals that they, you know, would have been on their normal trajectory. Or tried to.
Say, yeah, neurotypical. Because what is normal?
Yeah, what is normal? I don't think I'm...
Normalize normal.
Yeah, we'll put that on a chart. Normalize normal. Because yes, there is no normal, to be honest. Do I think I can see our boys being very successful and doing things? I do.
We're not there. Never put our kids in a box. Don't put ceilings over their head. Change every month. And I always say to my son every morning, you are good, you are smart, you are successful. Speak it out.
Yeah, I do that too, but I like to speak it into his water. I know. We'll talk about that too. It's a water memory thing.
Water.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Yeah. So you're like, you know, positive words into water. Water has memory. We are 90% water. So when he drinks his water, he's going to ingest my positivity, not only hear it down to the cell level. So there's a whole science behind that. I can't wait for that episode.
That makes sense.
Okay. So Bob really wondering like where we met and like how, you know, our worlds collided. It's actually kind of interesting. So we were at Geyser.
They have Sensory Tuesday every Tuesday.
Yes. Yes.
For kids with sensory processing disorder, just for those who don't know what sensory is.
Yeah. And so it's great for our children, you know, on the spectrum because the lights are dim or something.
Mm-hmm. They're dim. Wait. No music.
No music. So it's a lot
less crowded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And less bigger kids, too.
Yes.
So really like going on Tuesday nights, and it gives our kids a chance to interact and do things, you know, which is really nice. So Elijah was jumping and Kanika was out there jumping. Well, you were standing out there.
I think I was standing watching my son jump and flip and spin.
He's great. So good on
all
jumping.
That for the sensory.
And it really does wear them out. So it's like really nice to be able to take the kids there. And my son just went up to Kanika and just started hugging her. Sometimes, I don't know. Sometimes he's great, but sometimes he's a Sour Patch Kid. So sometimes he's sweet and then he's really sour really quickly. So I'm just like...
Sour Patch.
Some
autistic kids, if they're not speaking a lot, they happen to do a lot of chinning. So they'll grab your hand and they'll chin and they need that hard surface. So it's like usually like your knuckles or like some like the bone part right here.
Pressure.
They like to feel their chin on a hard surface.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he was chinning a little bit.
Yeah.
And you came over to apologize. I was like, it's fine. I was like, my son does the same thing. He's right over there flipping and spinning.
And then ever since then, I mean, we just hit it off.
Started talking about autism and their behaviors. And did you have your all mommy group at the time?
Yep. Yep. I invited you to the group because that's actually why we were there. We were meeting up the kids. There was a couple other people there with the kids there.
And I think I met, I don't know if it was Lisa or Valerie there.
Valerie.
I met Valerie there. And she's very resourceful.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And yeah. And then I joined the group. And then here I'm in the group. And I'm a groupie for all mommy.
She's a groupie and now she's my co-host. You know?
Yeah.
Because I kept telling her that I was wanting to do this idea for a while. And she's like, hey, when are you going to just do it? And she was my biggest like,
yeah,
do it. Just do it, girl. Like, okay. Okay.
And I'm always the one not to be in front of the camera. But I'm like, who cares?
I was like, come on, Kanika, you could be my co-host.
Yeah.
Give me the put. You keep pushing me. You're going to be doing this with me. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love that how our boys are similar. And then also they have their own little quirks. They play really good together. Elijah normally doesn't like get close to people, but he likes Jay. He does.
Yeah. My son, he get fixated on things. So we were at the airport and he spotted a daisy. It was a daisy duck from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Yeah.
I didn't even see it. He did. And I don't know how when we're just like walking fast with luggage. He drops everything and dart towards the gift store and then wants to get the daisy duck. I'm like, so he's an eloper. And then, yes, he does play well with some kids. But yes, he does like Elijah. And then a lot of touching, a lot of grabbing.
And you know, Elijah doesn't, he's never really like gravitated to a bunch of kids. But Jay is one of the kids that he'll gravitate to. So that makes me so happy. I'm like, okay, he's a very big loner. Like, I just don't want to do anything with anybody. So
introvert, I would say,
yeah. Yeah, but, you know, his dad's an introvert, so.
And, yeah, you got neurotypical kids that are introverts. Because some, even with neurotypical kids, they get overwhelmed, overstimulated with crowds or too many people.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maybe they just don't want to hear everybody talking all the time.
Mm-hmm. I hope this episode really resonates, you know, with the both of us and about learning who I am. And I'm a parent coach, you know, I'm a parent advocate. I'm a financial strategist. So I help build out plans for families on the spectrum as well. So I'm continuously growing alongside my child. It's an everyday fight. And then also I'm learning mm-hmm. new things about the finance for, you know, some things I just didn't think about that I would need in, you know, especially at this age. I didn't think I'd have to think about it right now, but I do have to. I have to make those provisions now. And that's what I help a lot of my clients with as well. And just really getting and embracing, you know, the whole community and trying to help. But this is our outlet to be able to bring you along on this journey.
Were you a financial strategist before you had your son?
So I switched the finance actually after I had him because I didn't want to do pharmaceutical anymore.
Oh, so that's good to know that. Having a child with special needs will change your whole career, your whole lifestyle, your whole outlook on life. Like the things you used to do or like to do no more. And you just want to do, you want to be an advocate for your child. So you get way more involved mm-hmm. in the community and knowing other families that are going through that.
Yeah.
And so my son helped me find my purpose. I really love children and working in a preschool with kids.
I love that.
Yeah.
I always love kids, you know? So, yeah. And it's kind of the same thing with the advocate because people don't think that IEPs, you know, I'm a big IEP advocate when it comes to that. It's a financial tool. I look at it totally different than a lot of advocates because if it's not structured properly, you can't get certain services outside of the school system, which then also affects your insurance. So people don't understand that, yes, it's not only a legal document, but it is also a financial document. And this is why I became an advocate because I went down that rabbit hole and I was like, oh my gosh, this is more intertwined than I even thought. And that's why I tried to educate parents on, like, you have to make sure it's structured properly. And it's not for the now. It's actually for the later as well.
Oh, yeah. It's because the IEP will be up until college. You can do IEP in college.
Sure can. Yep.
Yeah.
And it can affect special need trust. People don't know that. They can affect special needs trust. They can affect your ability to get SSI. They can affect your ability to get onto APD. So the list goes on and on. Like if you don't have a properly structured IEP, mm-hmm. it does affect on the financial side. And I connect those dots for parents a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
so,
the journey of
that. Any IEP questions, contact Ruth. Or any questions you have, please engage. Let us know feedback, good or bad.
Yeah. What stories do you want to hear? We're getting ready to ramp up and do our roundtable sessions, and I'm so excited about doing those. And I got some guests lined up. We're just got to figure out the scheduling piece.
Yeah.
But what guests do you want to hear from?
That's a good, yeah.
Yeah. Put that in the comments. Like, who would you like to see? And it doesn't have to be somebody well-known.
No.
No.
And we would like to get autism dads to do a roundtable as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that autism dad that's a huge advocate? I forget his name, but he had 3 sons.
I know. I think I follow him on
Instagram. I follow him on Instagram, TikTok.
Mm-hmm. We'll reach out to him.
Yeah, what's his name? Forgot. For me, it's about helping others embrace their journey, even through the hard days, and finding strength in their story. We hope this podcast helps you feel so supported and welcomed.
And loved. You know, we have got to stick through this together.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got to be, you know, here for each other. So we're grateful for you being here with us today, sharing stories today, as just as, you know, how this began. And I can't wait to dive into the multitude of topics that I have, like the whole water and the fabric. And I can't wait. Our next episode that we're going to do, which one? Sleeping?
Sleeping.
Have us on our schedule to do empath.
My son's an empath. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And really dive deep into that because there's a lot to that.
And we're bringing on amazing guests, parents, siblings, professionals, and individuals on the spectrum to share their insights and experiences.
So you guys got to make sure you got to follow us, you know, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. And if you are enjoying this, leave us a review, connect with us on social media. We would love to hear from you.
Thanks for joining us on this journey. Please give us feedback. See you next time.
All right. See you next time, guys. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey. I hope today's episode inspired you, brought you some clarity, or simply reminding that you are not alone. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and if you enjoyed this conversation, leave a review and share it with someone who might need it. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your voice matters, and together we can navigate this journey one step at a time.